The advent of scalability. Consider the fate of Giacomo, an opera singer at the end of the 19th century, before sound recording was invented. Say he performs in a small and remote town in central Italy. He's shielded from those big egos at La Scala in Milan and other major opera houses. He feels safe as his vocal cords will always be in demand somewhere in the district. There is no way for him to export his singing, and there is no way for the big guns to export theirs and threaten his local franchise. It is not yet possible for him to store his work, so his presence is needed at every performance, just as a barber is, still, needed today for every haircut. So the total pie is unevenly split, but only mildly so, much like your calorie consumption. It is cut in a few pieces, and everyone has a share. The big guns have larger audiences and get more invitations than the small guy. But this is not too worrisome. Inequalities exist, but let us call them mild. There is no scalability yet, no way to double the largest in-person audience without having to sing twice. Now consider the effect of the first music recording. An invention that introduced a great deal of injustice. Our ability to reproduce and repeat performances allows me to listen on my laptop to hours of background music of the pianist Vladimir Horowitz, now extremely dead, performing Rachmaninoff's preludes, instead of to the local Russian emigre musician, still living, who is now reduced to giving piano lessons to generally untalented children for close to minimum wage. Horowitz, though dead, is putting the poor man out of business. I would rather listen to Vladimir Horowitz or Arthur Rubinstein for $10.99 a CD than pay $9.99 for one by some unknown but very talented graduate of the Juilliard School or the Prague Conservatory. If you ask me why I select Horowitz, I will answer that it's because of the order, rhythm, or passion, when in fact there are probably a legion of people I've never heard about and will never hear about, those who didn't make it to the stage, but who might play just as well. Some people naively believe that the process of unfairness started with a gramophone, according to the logic that I just presented. I disagree. I'm convinced that the process started much, much earlier, with our DNA, which stores information about ourselves and allows us to repeat our performance without our being there by spreading our genes down the generations. Evolution is scalable. The DNA that wins, whether by luck or survival advantage, will reproduce itself, like a best-selling book or a successful record, and become pervasive. Other DNA will vanish. Just consider the difference between us humans, excluding financial economists and businessmen, and other living beings on our planet. Furthermore, I believe that the big transition in social life came not with the gramophone, but when someone had the great but unjust idea to invent the alphabet, thus allowing us to store information and reproduce it. It accelerated further when another inventor had the even more dangerous and iniquitous notion of starting a printing press, thus promoting texts across boundaries and triggering what ultimately grew into a winner-take-all ecology.